My name is Rabbi Nuchem Rosenberg, and I would like to deliver a little speech on what is happening in the Jewish world on child molesting. And I would also like to talk about what just happened in India with these Jewish people that were killed, brutally murdered, because they're Jews. First, I would like to talk about the child abuse situation. I was, first of all, threatened after I had a hotline to teach the people right or wrong. And I also thought about teachers doing child molestation. I was threatened that if I don't close it down, they'll kill me. I was threatened twice with a gun, and I closed it down. Before Sukkot, I said only happy holidays to the Jewish people. I was immediately threatened that I'll be killed. On the fourth day of Sukkot, in the afternoon late, a zooming car went by, and they shot into my forehead. It probably didn't go in because of the slant, because it came from a traveling car. But it was it hit my forehead. I got swollen. But because probably it was on the slant, it didn't go in, and it just made a big scratch, and I still have a scratch, a big bump and a sign on my forehead. This is what happens. You know, everybody feels very bad about these Jewish people that were killed in India. The truth is, I also feel bad. But if I come to think of it, I was also killed. The fact that the bullet was on a drop on a slant and it was shot from a few feet away, like 40, 50 feet away, does not mean that this thing was not an act of killing. It just missed the angle. And therefore, I don't understand what the difference is between this and the Indian killing. In fact, the Indian killing is not as bad as my killing, because the Indians, they are not Jewish. They didn't get the Torah where it says Loi Sirtzach. So the Jewish people got the Torah. And this was done with Jewish people sending them, because they threatened me, in the Jewish language, and I know basically who they are also. So it is a big shame what's going on. And usually what happens is, if one Jew kills another one, or at least he attempts murder to another one, then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, if this can happen to my Jewish people, then I take away the Hashgucha from them, and then this is what happens. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, "V'noichi haster haster unai," he is hiding, and when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam hides, then we are in deep, deep trouble. So this is what happens. So this is a very, very strong warning that things are going very bad. And what am I doing wrong? All I did is I tried to help those small youngsters, the children, from pedophiles, which are trying to attack them. So it hurts. Anyway, getting back to the subject. The subject is that, thank God, we're progressing very, very good. Number one, we came to the point where a law was signed. Now, this law was fought 6 years. But now, finally, Baruch Hashem, thank God, I had the courtesy to go to a few Gvirim, and I told him that Agudas Yisrael and the OU, in conjunction with Satmar and all these big institutions, are trying to block this law the whole time. And if you are not going to help to push this law through, we're going to have a few big Gevirim, rich people, which are going to stop giving money. So once you get hurt in your pocketbook, everybody works along with you. So So this law was passed, and the law is as follows. Every teacher has to sign under oath that they never molested a child. And if they're caught that they're lying, that's 20 years in jail before they start. So this is something which moved everything forward. Also, they're fighting very strong on legislation that there should not be any statute of limitation for sexual crimes. It started off with one case where a woman in her 40s had told her father that who had molested her when she was 16 and 17, and now she lost her husband in the Iraq war, and she has big children, like 20 plus already. So she told her father, because you did that to me, I don't feel good. I'm mentally disturbed. When I got married to my husband, I never told him anything, but I was a mental case. I went to doctors, to psychiatrists, on medication, and I told my husband that this all had to do from childbirth when I gave birth to my children. Therefore, the husband was very good, and he suffered and he paid the bills. Also, because she didn't want to break the house, the children, the marriage, she didn't want to say what the grandfather did to her. She didn't want to tell for the grandchildren what their grandfather did to the daughter, which is their mother. But at this point, when the children are on their own, the husband is dead, she wants her father to pay her money to go for help. And the answer from the father was, too bad, you passed the statute of limitations. So she fought in court, she won $3 million, and the father had to pay it to her. So this shows you that if there's a reason behind why you didn't sue until a certain age, then you can reopen the case. Now, most of these children who are abused cannot sue when they're 23 yet. They don't know what life is all about, and sometimes they're threatened, they're still in school. So there's a fight going on, and there are three states who already adopted this law that on sexual things, there should be no statute of limitation. California is the big one, and then there's a second one, and now there's a third one, which is coming in very strong, and that's in Maryland. I was called down when they debated the law, and they also, the senator, the U.S. senator, that is, gave me a plaque on my name. On the plaque was written my name, that I won the award, that in year 2008, I did the most for Jewish children to stop molesting. Because until I started to speak in the Jewish community, it never existed. There was no such a thing as molesting. It was only a sicko, Rabbi Rosenberg's dreams, that it's happening. But unfortunately, it is happening. And Mr. Dov Heiken, who was the assemblyman, when they closed on my hotline, I spoke on Zev Brenner's show, which half a million people heard. And Dov Heiken had heard that I was right, that if somebody gets attacked from a teacher or anything, or even from his father, or even from a friend, or even from a grandfather, there's really nobody to talk to. So he opened an office, he took in Dr. Rabbi Benzion Twersky, and he was ran out with a gun, with life threats, and the office still exists with other people there. And now he claims in front of the televisions that in about 8 weeks he has 1,000 victims and 60 teachers who are still teaching in schools, in Jewish schools. So what happened was that one of the biggest lawyers, Mr. Michael Dowd, he got involved in the case. And what he did is, he's suing him, Mr. Charles and Mr. Dov Hikins, that he has to give out all these names for the government, because basically it's government money. And we're not in a charity organization saying that if you come forward, we're going to keep the pedophiles hidden. So now there's a big court going on whether he has to give it out or not. Originally he said, I'll go 10 years in jail and I won't give it out. But he's melting up a little now, because he doesn't want to go sit in jail for pedophiles. And if he has to, he'll give it out. And maybe that's the best thing that he could do in his life. Not to hide these people, the people's identity, because then other children are going to suffer. The numbers is astronomical. The numbers is, as in Talmud Torahs, Jewish schools, we have one child out of four that's molested from a teacher. One out of four. Can you imagine if you're a Jewish mother and you have four children, one is a victim from a pedophile teacher. If you have eight children, if God blesses you with a bigger family, then two of them are victims. This is why you bring children to this world, that pedophiles should be messing up their life? Definitely not. So if you really know what's good for you, what you should do is, you have to start to be very close to your children. You have to talk to them about all these sexual problems that's happening. You have to teach them about their private places where nobody's to touch them. Nobody's to sit them on the lap and play with them. And if you don't have the guts and the strength to do it, get somebody to do it for you. Because if you're not going to do it, the next time your child will find out about these sexual things will be when he's molested. And then, if he's molested strong enough, he might be losing his mind. He might become a mental case for the rest of his life. Because I am fighting and I'm on the right track, even though we're not gaining big speed, because the pedophiles are against us, and unfortunately the rabbis are also against us, because the rabbis have a means of making money on hechsher. In other words, kosher chickens, kosher meat. At the same time, they have a means to make hechsher money on our children's blood and flesh. Yes, if somebody molests them, they run to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, listen, a lawyer's $10,000, put down $10,000, I'll take care of you. He calls up the father of the child and he says, don't you dare go any place to say anything to anybody, to the police or so, because if you do, we're going to throw your child out from school, we're going to throw you out from the community. I would like to explain to what's happening here. We have a community that I live in, lived here all my life. I had the hotline and I educated the people on the right things. I educated on so many important issues. I educated them that the women go away for 9 weeks in the country. And I tried to explain to the women that these men don't sit all night and learn Torah. They have cars, they have money, and they go find themselves outside entertainment. And a lot of women stop to go to the country because of it. There was a big problem that most of the rabbis have bungalow colonies and they rent them for a very high price. And they couldn't care less what's happening in the city. And they were hurt a little because people didn't want to come to the country. And the ones that went are not going anymore like the big hero. Everybody looks down at such a woman. You're leaving your husband. You don't know what he's doing. So that was a small problem. But that didn't break the ice. What broke the ice is that I said that the teachers are pedophiles, and it's a shame what's going on. I also expose that some of the rabbis, the big ones, that are poiskim, they pass kishailas nushim for women, because they come in close contact with them, and they know a lot about them. It happened that one asked for a woman to go out with her, and another one had already an affair, and she thinks that the child that was born is the rabbi's. Now she's going to sue him for the DNA. Now these are things we have to be careful. There's a famous story on the Vilna Gaon. He was 80 years old, and a woman came to ask him a shaila, and he jumped out of the window. So the woman said to him, Rebbe, in your age, and I'm an old lady, and you're an old man, he says, I'm not afraid of the Avaira, I won't sin. I'm afraid because it says in the Chazal that you're not allowed to have yichud with a woman. That's the sin by itself, even if you don't come to an Avaira. And then we know that the Rebbe, the Belzer Rebbe today, his father was sick in a hospital in Tveria, I think it was, or in Yerushalayim, and a nurse came in and he was a yichud with the room. It was after an operation, a cancer operation, he jumped out of a window, and that's what caused his death. So you're not supposed to. You can be as holy as the Vilna Gaon, you can be even holier than him, you can be Moshe Rabbeinu. He's also not to be allowed to be in an Isser Yichud with a woman. And these are the things that I was teaching. And the rabbi somehow did not like this kind of teaching, because they didn't want to be, first of all, humiliated, deteriorated, and then they didn't want that people should see what kind of corruption is going on. So what they did is, they made a cheirem against me. This cheirem is a real nasty one. Why? Because the people who are signed over there, there is one rabbi that signed over there, which had a big yeshiva, and they closed him down because he molested his talmidim. He had to close shop. But because he's a beach rabbi's son, everything is forgotten, and he's a rabbi now as well, in a big shul. Then there are other rabbis there that are signed. The one rabbi there that signed, in his Talmud Torah, I know of 10 Malamdim who are pedophiles, and they're still in the Talmud Torah. He has one of his right-hand people who molested the secretary last year summer. She had to leave in the middle of the job. And then he called her back. She says, what are you calling me back for? You know what you did. Don't try to, you know, just make yourself like you don't know what happened. Anyway, so these rabbis are watching after their people, and they don't care if Klal Yisrael deteriorates. What do they care? As long as they are doing fine, that's all that really counts. And this is where it hurts very bad. Now, on the cheirem, first of all, there are rabbonim that signed there. 37. First it started with 33, then 35, 37. 90% of these are born in my head on my hotline. Some of them gave us nevaile sitrifus. Some of them didn't know what shechita was all about, and they got a job to be the mashgiach on the chickens. They knew less about chickens than we know what's happening in Pluto. So this is the idea that's happening. So these rabbonim went and they signed a very nasty decree, very nasty. First of all, it's a decree nobody should talk to me, I should have no place where to daven. Then it said that until I don't close my hotline, this is what the people should do. The third paragraph is that I have no namunas, which means I'm not trustworthy in mikvahs, and also, not only I'm not trustworthy, even if I help out somebody, it's not good. This is so idiotic, ridiculous, because I would like to know the rabbi that had an affair with a woman is still a rabbi now. There was another one that wanted to have an affair with a woman. He ordered her in a hotel in Manhattan. He still teaches and gives gittin today. So how does it work? Let's understand, why is he allowed to, when the Gemara says that if somebody has a weakness or sexual problems, he should not be any either gittin condition. He is a sadik gittin when he wanted to have an affair with that married woman. Isn't it ridiculous? Now, most of the mikvahs that I built in this community was built by me, by myself. So from when it starts that I have no trust anymore? From yesterday, from tomorrow? And then, that's paragraph 3. The paragraph 3 doesn't say that if I close the hotline, I have namunas. Because what they wanted to do is to throw in a bombshell on my whole building of mikvahs, because I am probably, I don't know the whole world, but probably the biggest mikveh builder today in the world. Not only builder, but to redo, to remachshir and whatever. And some of the rabbonim in our community were called the buffalo mikvehs. So in order to take away the credibility of a person, they decided this is the best way to do it. Which is a very bad way, because by doing that, you're passing your wife's mikveh and your children's mikveh. But nevertheless, there's nobody there with an ounce of gram of brains, so they do what they want, they don't do what should be done. Now, when it came to retrieve that cheirem, it wasn't retrieved by the rabbonim, not one rof retrieved it. It was retrieved by Mishmeres Atznias. Mishmeres Atznias is an organization. Here we have, there is a Mr. Klar, there is a Mr. Yosef David Kraus, there is a Mr. Yidl Schlesinger, and in Borough Park, Yidl Wolf. These are people who live off this. They have so much money that they steal from the public that they could probably bail out the Lehman Brothers easy with a petty cash. They go over to people and they say, listen, you did this and this. If you don't give us $10,000, we're going to pelt Mr. Charles Hines on you. So to understand the idea, Mr. Charles Hines is Arkus. It's Masira. So how are you allowed to tell Mr. Charles Hines when anybody else is not allowed to go to Mr. Charles Hines? And why are you using his name? Number two, there was a case where a young girl went to work because she needed money to get married. Her boss, an Orthodox Jewish man, raped her. She goes home, she tells her father she was raped. He in turn goes to Mishmeres Atznias and he tells him the story. They come back the next morning and they made sure that they took out from this man $20,000 and they put it in their pocket. The girl pulls up and she tells me that she didn't get any money because she needs money for psychiatry. So I call up the Mishmeres Atznias and they tell me that's between the boss and her to give her the money for psychiatry. We are taking money for not splendiding his name all over the place. This is the people that they make a nice living on this. I have 55 people who have given me on my internet site the names of them and their victims from this Mishmeres Atznias. Some of them did something wrong and some of them didn't. Some of them, they just get accused and they have to pay the price anyway. And they're willing to come forward now. It was only a matter of putting everything together and getting the proper help. Because at this point, until now, if anybody went to the government or to the police, they were either let out by Mr. the Berish Freilich, who's in the 66 precinct, who is a crook, he's listed on the NYPD, that he threatened a woman to kill her if she doesn't take a divorce from her husband. In front of a lawyer. He is a known crook. He's a police. He's also the liaison of 66. There's another one, Mr. Abraham Yaakov Friedman. When they busted his computer, they found every pregnant woman in Williamsburg on his computer. He has a sickness to photographize pregnant women. He is the person that's going to make sure that there's no sex crimes in Williamsburg. So until now, these people were riding on our backs. At the same time, I also have, while I was doing my helpline, people came to tell me complaints. I have 60 Malamdim, exactly what those Haikins has, that are still Malamdim. The question is if it's the same names, because they usually came to me first and I would send them to Dov, or it can be that he has different ones and I have different ones. So that means we have 120 Malamdim between Williamsburg, Borough Park and Kiryas Yoel that are still teaching our children. So these are the people, Mishmeres Atzniyos, they wrote there that what they're doing is they're just taking back threats against Rabbi Rosenberg, and because he stopped the hotline, there's no more threats on him. It doesn't say anything that he's allowed to come daven in shuls, he's allowed to make mikvahs, and by the way, off the record, about the mikvahs, nobody really asked them, because I have more mikvahs now than I've ever had. I don't have one day empty, but I don't have where to daven, in every shul I'm being chased out. So, this is basically the hypocrisy from these rabbis. Now, these rabbis, until this time and age, they used to get away with murder. There's a famous story of a person whose name is Reb Mechel Lebovich. He lives in Muncie. He's a big rabbi now. He has a shul for a few million dollars. I built him the mikveh for about $150,000. He went out of his way. He gave all the monies for a well and everything. It should be more mahuder. This man did nothing wrong. Somebody taught that he wants to be a rabbi and he wants to be in competition with the Satmar Rebbe, which is an insult that a young man of 20 then should be a competition with a 90-year-old rabbi. But this is the old Romanian stupid philosophy that these people came with from overseas. Everybody's their competition. If it was the Kloisenberg Rebbe, they had to run him out of town. But him, I understand, he was almost the same age as the Satmar Rebbe. He was a big Talmud Chacham. But the Reb Mechel Lebovich was a 20-year-old man. So what did they do to him? They also wrote a decree like this. They started waking him up at night, just like they're doing to me. They ran after his children, they threw him out from school. He had 11 children. 4 or 5 are totally mental sick in institutions. And a few of them, 2 or 3, are not even Sabbath observers. They don't believe in anything of Judaism. Why did they have to do this to him? Did anybody ever say, I'm sorry to him? He lost his wife. They made him divorce. He lost his children. He married again with a divorced woman. He has 4 more children with her. And now he married his first child to the oldest of Rami Yitzchak's grandson. Why? Because the man is a success. The man is a learned man, he gives moral support, he says beautiful speeches, and what's happening now? Nothing. Everybody looks. They said he will take all these Jewish children, he will take them off the Jewish way. I know the people who started up with him took his children off the Jewish way, but all his other Hasidim are very fine people. did to me. They humiliated me because of that cheirem, which didn't stop me from the hotline, but there were posters with a picture of a snake going around that they should chop my head off from all four corners of the earth. And that's why everybody felt free to rent somebody, a kill man, to kill me. Twice threatened and once shot at. And this is very wrong. Now, these rabbis are so into their garbage, their money stealing, their money laundering. They have no feeling for anybody what they did. So what I am going to do to them is I hired the biggest civil rights, one of the biggest civil rights lawyers in America. And I am going to sue them civil. And from that, it'll probably come into criminal. I have already hired a lawyer. He's hired, and he already told me to take all these posters and the newspapers that were written in those 4 or 5 weeks, send them to Israel to a Beit Din, and they should translate it in English or certify it. Take it to the council, the U.S. council, and bring it here, and that's testimony. And it said there distinctly that I threatened the rabbis that I will become an informer. How could I have threatened the rabbi when I was never, nobody ever spoke to me? These rabbis didn't even give me the courtesy to talk to me. I'll tell you something. Sometimes you look the way these rabbis act, you start to think, are they believers in God? Are they believers in the Torah? Their moral is lower than Al Capone. Al Capone, at least he stole from the rich and gave for the poor. These people would do nothing for a poor person. Anybody that has a problem, they'll milk him out. And then, when he's all milked out, they'll throw him away. It's unbelievable how they run an organization. So they say that I threaten the rabbis, that I'll become an informer. And I have it in like a muscle, like an informer. So they, in Israel, they put down the din, the law of an informer is you can kill him on Sabbath that falls on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. So therefore, it's very good because they were the ones that made my blood to be free for all to be killed. And everybody that signed there with this organization and congregation name, he's going to be liable himself, and the congregation will be liable. So that's a done with deal. Now the reason why I'm doing it is not because I need a few dollars. It's costing me a lot to start off. The reason why I'm doing it is because they have to be taught that they're a bunch of crooks, animals, mules. They don't belong to be rabbis. They belong to be gangsters. And because of it, I have to sue them, because tomorrow they'll do it to somebody else. There is a story now in Williamsburg of a person that needed a divorce. He got married to a woman. He didn't get along with her. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just an unfortunate situation. So he, the father-in-law, happens to be one of the members of the Hisachdus Rabbunim, Central Rabbinical Congress. They're supposed to be the ultra-Orthodox based in Williamsburg, who 50% of the city don't even touch their Hechsher because they know it's a fake, phony fraud organization. So his father-in-law wants that he should give a divorce on the condition that he will never ever see the child. It was a girl that was born. He was kicked out of the house about a week before birth, because this way he doesn't have anything to say to give the name. They gave a name without the father, and they wanted to make sure that he is going to have no relations with this child. Never ever can he see this child. And this young man said, no, wait a minute. I don't know what you did, but I know that it's my child. So if it's my child, I have all the rights to see this child. And I will not give a divorce in this condition. For weeks and weeks and months, maybe 2 years, she didn't want to give, let him loose. She didn't want to take a get. And fine, after 2 years, in all the newspapers in Williamsburg, they started putting in ugly things on him, that he doesn't want a divorce, they deteriorated him, humiliated him. They did such dirty things on him, until one rabbi finally decided that he's going to make a heter meir upon him, and that's what he did. He made a heter meir upon him, and this young man got married, and that's it. So now the question starts like this. Under what right does the Hisagdus Rabbonim, the Central Rabbinical Congress, have to humiliate a young man who needs to do a shidduch in a year from now or in 2 years from now, to put different lies on his name that he doesn't want to go to prison? He definitely distinctly mailed in that he does want to go, just doesn't want to go to the Hisagdus because his father-in-law is a member there. So how dare they put out such lies in the name of Rabbonim to deteriorate this man? Now you wonder why it's happening, such killings in India? Very simple. Because when we do this to our brothers, Hashem says, "V'anochi aster aster," I'm not here either. Should God help us, it shouldn't happen in Williamsburg and in Borough Park, where these filthy rabbis run the show. Now, he finally got married to a woman. So the rabbis did the same thing. They called up, don't let him in daven any shul. What kind of right is this? Who gives the right to do all this? If you're mafia, we're going to treat you like mafia. Then they called, there's a guy called Rabbi Yisrul Hager. He's the son of the Vishnitz Rebbe. His father is 85, he has dementia, and he also suffers on sugar, he's a diabetic. That makes him not remember from one minute to the other. So he goes in and he says, my father said so and so. So whatever he says has to be true, because you can't question his father. And he was the one that did my cheirim also. They couldn't get any normal rabbis to sign it. They got all these rabbis, all pedophiles, all the ones that I spoke about on the hotline. So the Vishnitz Rebbe unfortunately had 30 years of mikveh puzzle. According to the Minchas Yitzchak, and according to the Moshe Feinstein, and according to the Bishkol Tzeruf from 100 years ago in Hungary, who made it safer, they all quote that it was built the way that mikveh Monsi was built. It's a Basel mikveh, it's an Amba Tegedoyle Bekekeile Batulish, it's a bathtub. And when the Vishnitz Rebbe slipped in front of a mikveh and his blood came out, I wrote him a letter, that's because you ignored me the whole time that you should build a new mikveh. And that's the blood next to the mikveh. Because when the women use the mikveh, it's unfortunate that they are nidus the rices and you're playing with it. So from 120 users of a night of the mikveh, it fell down to about 5 or 10 users, and therefore Vishnitz has an in for me. So Shrul Hager had to make sure to defend his father, so he's going to make Rabbi Rosenberg to a crazy man, a man in cheirim. So then his father is going to become the righteous person again, but he won't. Because they're building now a new mikveh, because everybody understood that there was a problem with the mikveh. So today, what they do here is, if you don't belong to the system and you don't bow to the system, which is corrupted 100%, then they make you look like a crazy man. And they do things which is against the law. So now they said that they will use the same Shrul Hager to deteriorate and humiliate the rabbi who made the Me'etzer Me'er Rabboni. His name is Rabbi Wohendler. He's a very fine man, probably one of the biggest in Gittin. One of the biggest. He made the sefer that I went around worldwide. Everybody reads it, b'shar they give again. So, this is the story. Now, what they're doing is they're trying to make the same chedim on him. So I told him, Rabbi Wohendler, don't worry. They're not even going good with my chedim. They're going to pay top dollar for this, and I'm going to deteriorate them, or humiliate them, bring them into court, and everything is going to be asked and questioned, why did you sign it? And when Rabbi Hager, Shul Hager, is going to say, because he spoke filth on the hotline, I will say that he has two children who did filth. One of them, almost, I don't know, the saying is that he didn't do it, but some people say that it was after dawn, he molested one of the Talmidas from the school in Visions that he was principal in. And I don't want to say about the other son and about his daughter-in-law. So if we're going to talk filth, we're going to talk a lot of filth. Because those chat lines are all typed. And these people came to me when they had problems. So this is basically what's going on. Then there's another rabbi whose name is Kosovo Rebbe, Rabbi Hager, Shrage Hager. This is the guy who, if you put him in a $10,000 envelope, he'll make sure that you can do whatever you want. There's a rape case in Borough Park that he's defending now, the guy who raped. And we're working very hard that the government should get to this girl, she should say who her rapist was. And one day they're going to feel sorry for doing all this. But we can't turn around the corrupted system for 40 years in 2 weeks. But we're on the right track. So these are the people who are going to try to humiliate everybody that stands in their way. And because of this, I am going to take them into court. I have a heter from a bezin. And I'm going to make sure that they'll start learning. You should be very careful with your pen. If you're going to sign something on somebody, you're going to eat it. And I want to tell you a very interesting thing. Before a Shishun, a few Rabbonim called me up. You know, Rabbi Rosmuck, I really didn't sign it. They just made me do it. So I told them, with knowing the rabbis, you're such a liar that I don't even believe you, your grandmother's first name. You are liars through and through. You got $5,000 from Mr. Stern, the one that went around to collect the signatures with his partner, Mr. Friedman, who was a pedophile who was thrown out from a mikveh, red-handed while he was caught molesting a child, the Tenkeruf son Friedman, together with this Mr. Stern, and they went around and collecting these signatures. It was signed long before the date that's on it. Certain rabbis called me up, you know, it's really not fair. I said, listen, you did, you're going to pay for it. And I'm not waiting till heaven to pay for it. You're going to pay for it here because I'm going to take action. I have enough money to fight this. And one day, these rabbis will learn. The law does not exclude them. They're not over and above the law. If they're going to do against the law, they're going to get hurt. So this is the real reason why I have to fight this, because there are generations to come and these rabbis have to start being careful. The rabbis are now just in the position of the priests were when they used to do all different kinds of crook things and they thought they were over and above the law. Until finally the law got to them. Now, this is going to teach them, hopefully, with God's help, a lesson that they shouldn't do that. Now they can put out after they're going to see the lawsuits, they're going to start coming in, then they're going to start saying, oh, he's a Musar, he's an informer. It doesn't make a difference. I wasn't an informer, and I was labeled as an informer, and they freed my blood to everybody because I'm an informer, when I never said anything about informing. But that's the way that they can get you to be nobody and they can kill you legally, halachically. So therefore, it makes no difference if I'm an informer now or not, because my title is an informer without being an informer. So they're going to have to start learning that when you write on somebody something and you press it into a paper and everybody reads it and you mark the whole city with these posters, you're going to pay a price. Now we're going to continue in the field of the child molesting. Until now, they had the name of Charles Hines. Charles Hines is the biggest crook that is in the law system. He takes either money or votes. I don't know which one he goes for. But he doesn't arrest any rabbi. If he does arrest him, so everybody should be happy, then he lets him out. He makes the deal that he can be a rabbi again. He doesn't hear complaints. He works with the rabbis because he needs the votes. And maybe some money too, I don't know. But the votes he needs. Now, we have gotten together all the newspapers. They mention his name a few times. And now, he feels already the heat. When I went up to him and I said, I need help, he was called in by somebody. And they said, listen, if you're going to deal with Rabbi Rosenberg, we won't deal with you. Because he's a man of righteousness, then you're going to get no votes. So, he didn't give me any help. Now, they want to talk to me already because I talk to all the televisions and to all the radio stations. And I tell them all what Charles Hines is all about. Not only that, I'm working now on an appointment which we'll probably get with high officials to his boss, which is Mr. Cuomo. He is the Attorney General of New York State. And this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get this thing straightened out. The past 40 years, there was not one rape case. There was not one arrest by the police. If somebody was arrested, the liaisons would get him out. And it's ridiculous of what's going on. We are unsafe in this community. There was a girl who was raped, a 14-year-old, this summer. There are two rabbis that don't let the government speak to her. One is the rabbi I told you already. And this is Rabbi Hager from Borough Park. Shrag Hager, he tells the detective, I won't let you speak to her because she's a woman. You're not supposed to sit in one room with a woman. But this is so full of lies. When his wife goes to a gynecologist, if the door is open, she's allowed to be there, right? And even if the door is closed, it's not locked, the nurse can come in anytime, she's also there. So what is he selling you stories? Where's the government? Then he tells her, you can't talk to her because you're going to ask her private things. There's nothing to ask. She was raped. She was identified as a rape victim. All the man wants to ask her is, do you know who the rapist was? And the answer is yes, because he's from the community. And guess what? The same man did the same thing to a girl of 9 years old a year ago in Borough Park. And the DNA says so. So, this is the rabbis that we're fighting with. We're not fighting with pedophiles. We're fighting with rabbis. We're supposed to be fighting with angels. We're fighting with devils. There was a man who had a big slaughtering house in the 1940s in America. His son told me the story. He became older. He said to his son, listen, you have to stop learning the business because you're going to take it over. You're my son. And you're the only one that I have. So he tells him before he comes in into the business, he says to him like this, son, I want you to know, if you'll see what kind of crooks these rabbis are, you'll want to go right away and convert to Christianity. But don't do it because I know the priests, they're just as bad. So you might as well stay Jewish. It's unbelievable. The priests used to molest the children. The rabbis are doing it now. They at least have the pressure on already. The Pope has admitted that it's been going on in the churches. They're willing to pay now $750,000 across the board for anybody that comes forward because they're in bankruptcy. The Archdiocese had to sell almost the whole place and they couldn't even pay kind of lawsuits that they had. So now we, the rabbis, are taking it over, and they're saying, oh, it's not happening. There's a few crazy rabbis. Rabbi Rosenberg, he says so. But now there's a few crazy people also, like Assemblyman Dovhykin, and other people who are coming forward. And it's happening. There's been numerous arrests now in Borough Park. It's happening, but we have a problem because the DA is working along with the people who are being arrested. The rabbis call up. We have a lot of work to do to make sure these cases go forward and they don't fall out from the system and so forth and so on. And this is all unfair. Our children are free for all, for anybody to do anything that they want to do with them. Because there is no law system, none whatsoever. Okay, so now we're trying to get all these things organized. We're trying to make Charles Hines to leave his post. He's been there too long. He's corrupted. We need other people for that. We also need in every police in the 66 and in the 90, we need big changes. There was a time when I spoke on my hotline and I said we have 30% boys on drugs. So what did they do? They said, where do you get your figure? The police called me up. And I said, let me ask you a question. Let's not get into an argument. How many people are on drugs, according to your figures? They say 15%. I said, fine. Let's say I'm wrong. Let's say it's only 15%. But somebody's pushing this. It's being sold in the community. So they made an investigation. They found out one of the detectives of the 90 precinct was a dope pusher. His own people, a policeman, he was the one that was hooked on with these detective devices, and they caught him red-handed. So this is what's happening. We have to do the same thing when it comes to pedophile problems. These police, they take bribes, they take community pressure, they take community gifts, and we're the victims of it all. And that's not fair. It's not fair at all. The Shmeres Atznir should walk around. They should make a nice living on sexual problems that people are abused. And these people have no place to go for help now. Because you can't go to the government, because then you'll be considered an informer. And this is very, very bad. So one rabbi says to me, I tell him, why didn't they sign that they take off the decree? He says, if you would have came and you would have said you're sorry and because of the rabbis you closed down, then we would have said, oh, good job. But because you didn't listen to us, so we lost the power. So these rabbis think that they're going to have power, but they're not. Because the young people realize what I'm talking on my outline is true. They're here only to squeeze you out, to steal away every penny that you have, to give you nothing in return for it. And that's all they're here for. Their children, they marry off. One of the Mishmeres Atzniyas, one of the people, Mr. Klad, never worked a day in his life, never made a dime, marries off all his children with apartments, own apartments for $200,000-$400,000 from the stolen money. There's a man that made a beautiful picture of a piece of meat to advertise his restaurant. They tear it off because he forgot to pay them. He forgot to pay them what they have to get. So therefore, he cannot operate. There's another person who tried to sell here on a truck, so they drove him out. They made sure that he doesn't come in into the community because he forgot to pay them. Mr. Niederman went to this man who has here Mr. Steiner, the one that has the studio, and told him, if you give me a few million dollars, I think he said 2 million, I'll make sure the rabbis will keep quiet. So wait a minute. So he answered them, wait a minute, I don't need to give you anything. I have enough tax money to fight you with the rabbis. So then he walked away. So wait a minute. If you're not supposed to have this kind of studio, so why is it that if he gives a few dollars that you could have it? And if you're allowed to have it, so if he gets $2 million, why shouldn't everybody get a share of the pie? This is what's happening. It's extortionists. The government is fully aware now because I talk on all radios and televisions and every newspaper, and I give them the names too. There's no secret in the names. They weren't afraid to embarrass to put their names onto my decree either. So I'm not afraid to give their names. Now they shot me anyway, even their hotline was closed. I might as well open it now. But I'm not opening it because every day that it's closed, it's violating the first constitution, the first amendment in the constitution, which is freedom of speech. And as long as it's violated, the FBI is involved in it, the US attorney is involved in it, because it came out killing from this. So we're gonna see who's gonna have the better fight, me or them. And this is only to show principle. They are nothing, they are robbers, thieves. And one of the two brothers that I signed on it, his father was let in into the United States in the times when Roosevelt hated Jews and he didn't want to let him in because of the Depression. He was let in here 2 years, and in his books, he did all different kind of stealings and everything. He went to jail, and one of these people who assigned was born in the jail. What a shame, everybody was saying. The greenhorns, they just let him in, and this is what they do. They start stealing and robbing, and they wind up in jail. So these are the people who we're dealing with. Now, as long as the community was safe, you know, nobody cares. Let them steal money. They're too lazy to work. Let them make a living this way. But if they're starting up, and they're taking our children's blood and flesh for a ride, our children are the ones that are going to be molested because of them, and our children are going to be the ones that are going to be harmed because of them, we're not going to stand for it. We will fight. And I keep on telling the government that the people are ready to fight back with guns and with knives. When they take the children to school now, they tell the teacher, if you're going to molest my child, I'm not going to call Rabbi Rosenberg, nor will I call Charles Hines, nor will I call the police. I will take a bullet and put it in your head, or I'll take a knife and stab you in the heart. My children are not your toy to play with. Now, you have to understand what kind of an impact this makes on the teacher if he gets threatened like this, and how little feelings he has to this child to teach him afterwards, and how scared he is not to start with this child at any condition. But in the same time, he doesn't teach him properly either. So this is something that we need big changes, and we're working on it. It's going slowly. It's a slow-moving vehicle because the corruption is here for 40 years, and we have to deal with it. But nevertheless, we're doing the right thing. We're on the right track, at least, so that when time comes by, passes by, eventually we will succeed, God willingly, as in Hashem. I still have a lot to talk. I would like to talk about the boys on drugs next week, about the abuse that the teachers give to the children, not only sexually, but also hitting them and degrading them, just like the rabbis did to me, and they did this to Rabbi Leibowitz. And this is the system that they've been doing to everybody. They degraded Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, who was known to be the biggest goodl in our times. They called him Anamuritz, the Klosenberger, they called different names. The Lubavitcher, they called him Amin and Anapikoiris. I was just wondering that if this Teitelbaum, who was killed in Beis Chabad, if he would have been listening to the Mesoiris that they taught us, he never would have been in that place to begin with, because it's a Beis Avoy Dezur, a Beis Minas. How did he go in there to daven? The answer is that as time goes by, most of us are realizing that we were taught wrong. We were taught full of lies, All they try to do is to make themselves, the name Satmar should be above all. Now, when our holy Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe of Aniyor, lived, he was the holy and the leader of this generation. So we really didn't have to prove much that he was the man of the century. But then when he passed away and he left us over the other people, and now there's the third generation already, being that they were nobody and they didn't do anything for society and for Judaism. So in order for us to still be number one, supposedly, we have to talk about everybody bad and everything. So this is something that I will also talk next week. And I will also talk about the Hashirim that's going on overseas and this whole killing that took place. But at this time, I don't want to talk about it yet because the bodies are not buried yet and the pain is still very big. And thank you and bye-bye.